Welcome to another edition of the Mad Cat Movie Review Podcast. It's your boy Derek.
I'm Sean.
I'm CL.
And this week we're talking about Death by Temptation. Oh, my bad. Death by Temptation. EF. Not death. All right, so a quick rundown of the film. Joel, played by James Vaughn III, is a quiet divinity student from North Carolina who starts to question his faith. So he heads up to New York City to visit his friend Kay, played by Kadeem Hardison. Kay is a struggling actor who takes Joel out bar hopping, where they meet a gorgeous temptress played by Cynthia Bond, who turns out to be a demon spirit that lures lustful men to their deaths. When she sets her eyes on Joel, Kay turns to the help of Dougie, played by the immortal Bill Nunn, who's a drunken cop that specializes in supernatural investigations. So, some quick stats about the film. It was released in 1990, grossed around $4.5 million domestic and abroad combined. It was written, directed, and produced by James Vaughn III. And the cast included some notables like, obviously, Kadeem Hardison, Samuel L. Jackson, Bill Nunn, and a brief appearance by Melba Moore. So, fellas, what was y'all initial impression of the movie? I want to start with you, Sean.
What the fuck am I watching? It was nothing but comedy. There's no other way I can describe it. So I've known Death by Temptation existed. Never saw it until yesterday. Had a little bit of confidence that it might turn into something, especially seeing Kadeem Hardison, Samuel Jackson, Bill Nunn. But then when you turn it on and get through it, here's the thought that you have at the end of the movie. Thank God that Kadeem Hardison, Samuel Jackson, Bill Nunn had enough talent to get through this, and move on and do other things, because he deserved this. James Bond III, he deserved this. I pulled up his IMDb. This is the last movie he did.
Oh, man. Oh.
This is the first and only movie that he wrote, produced, and directed, and deservedly so. Shouldn't have done another thing.
Damn.
It was so bad, it was funny.
Wow. What you think of CL?
I mean, the fact that you could say starring Samuel L. Jackson and not put him in the brief appearance section of your intro, I think would be misleading people, because I ain't gonna lie. You know, I would like to have some words with Mr. Bond III, because I was expecting some Samuel. I wanted at least like one motherfucker, and he in here playing a preacher. So that was the first. Well, actually, that was the second clue. The first clue was the intro. The intro told me, like, this is probably going to be some bullshit. That's exactly what that intro said. I will say, after the title sequence, the initial guy at the bar was pretty good. But, bruh, like, this was hard to watch. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, damn. Tell him how you really feel, bruh. So let's talk about that opening scene with the bartender. That joint had me rolling a little bit, because I've never seen a movie open that way. The first thing is my man just talking on the phone with some woman about getting an abortion. Like, yo, just get the thing done. You send me the results of the abortion, this, that, and the other, show me it's done. My check's in the mail, blah, blah, blah. And not even 30 seconds later, he hangs up off of that chick, then hops on the phone with another girl who's married. You know, talk about, oh yeah, I got this fantasy, you know, putting up wearing your husband's clothes while we do what we
go to. Your husband's clothes.
The ultimate disrespect. Bad enough you rolling around in my wife. Well, you gonna wear my clothes while you doing it? you trying to die. You ain't trying to die from the temptress. You trying to die from me. So that was funny to me that he just hopped from one thing to the other. Then, you know, his desires get him in trouble, because we get introduced to our villain in the movie, the temptress. He spots her at the bar, you know, chats her up a little bit, hits on her, and ultimately becomes the first victim of the movie. Sean, what'd you think about that opening there?
That was wild. I didn't know where that was going. Didn't know where that was going. So for him to pick her up in the bar, go back to the house, you see them getting going. I'm like, okay, it's about to be a random horror movie fuck, and then we're going to get to the point. Little did I know, that was the point. The fuck was the point. Got the fuck in the shower, and next thing you know, my man's up out of there. That was wild. I'll give it to him. That was a good little hitter to start the movie off.
I was a fan of the beginning, like you said there. It was actually pretty funny, and just the sheer bluntness of saying, just get an abortion. Like, you know, like no emotions at all. And I was like, oh, you definitely about to get it. Cause you don't put that type of karmic energy out and not expect it to come back in some type of way. So I was curious to see where this was going to go. And then when we do meet the temptress, you know, we talked about this briefly with American Gods last week, and it kind of reminded me of a scene from like one of the first episodes where they have Beatrice.
Egyptian, yeah.
Yeah, she was basically like another temptress, and she would, you know, basically, you know, suck you up through her pussy, you know, for lack of a better term.
What a way.
And so I was trying to see, like, is this going to be like another one of the Beatrice type things, or is it going to go a different way? Yeah, I ain't expect to see my man, like, come straight out the shower and just, like, run, like, beeline, butt-ass naked. Like, I wasn't ready for that. But I was here, you know, for the whole scene. This shit was pretty damn funny. Nothing scary about it at all. I hope nobody was.
Definitely not scary. That was all comedy. Mm-hmm. That whole thing was straight up comedy, that scene. Now, I want to talk about the other two victims from the bar, because they obviously gave us three victims just to kind of establish what the temptress was capable of, her drive and motivation throughout the movie, what she was going to be doing. So let's talk about the second one, the married man. Now, I had a hard time feeling sorry for this cat, yo. A hard time, because I felt like he was dumb as hell. I felt he should have known something was up, because you could tell just from the way that he was interacting with her, fumbling all over his talking, his body, his speech, everything was just like awkward. And you could tell he's not used to having them top shelf panties thrown his way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he ain't never been used to it. So he should have known something was up the second that she's like, yeah, let's go back to my place. Sure. Come on. It ain't nothing good's ever that damn easy. Nothing. All right. So let's think about it this way. I want the two of y'all to think back on your younger selves, or back in your hunting days when you used to go hunting in the club or wherever your hunting ground of choice was. At what point, if you put yourself in the married man's shoes, at what point do you say, yo, this is too easy. Something ain't right. This girl trying to set me up for something. Or do you just go along with it like the married dude?
No, well, hell no. I ain't going along with that. I'm questioning something from the jump, from my first fuck up, that she didn't say nothing. She just kept on going. I'm starting to, obviously, dude had to know that he was batting outside his average.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So if you batting outside your average like that, you fumble and she just picks it up like it was nothing. I'm like, yo, something ain't right here. I might push it a little bit further, at least one more line to see where it goes. But after that, nah, I would have had to back up.
Now, the married man himself was the most trash version of a dude that's married and cheating. You know, because for one, you're supposed to take the ring off in the car. Like, what the hell are you doing at the door, taking the ring off where people can see you? What the, you know, that was my first problem. But that basically sets him up, because that lets you know he's about to come in and flex. And that's what he did. He went to the bar, tried to get him them champagne, and she asked for Cristal, Dom Perignon. He over there shaking his head in the back. Mm-mm. Don't do it. Don't do it. Definitely a trash flexing ass dude. But for me personally, you know, it's, I guess because she was that fine. That's probably the problem. Because I ain't gonna lie, like, I've had some shit come up that was that easy. You know, shout out to Tinder. You know what I'm saying? Making that shit a couple sentences from making some action happen. So, like, yes, I have went along with it when she's right away, and it turned out great. But I guess if she was that fine and in person, that would kind of feel like it was a setup. Like, what you got going on? Like, are you going to, you know, if anybody has ever heard any of the hood stories about dudes getting set up, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing for the cousins to come in as soon as you let your guard down and take everything you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I always got my guard up for shit like that. Sometimes it's just not worth it.
That's real. So CL, I want to get your opinion on something. So now, before I give mine, do you think that there was like some kind of deeper meaning behind his death scene?
I think because we find out later in the movie that he gets shot by his wife.
I didn't even catch that. Yeah.
When James Bond III enters the bar and he sees all the dead guys that she got, he jumps out and he's like, you know, my wife shot me in the face because she seen all this all over me. But yes, that's definitely a moral lesson. Like, the death is not from what you do in the moment. It's from, like, what goes onto your spirit as far as, like, what you did to that other person. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like an outward thing. It's like you actually put some bad energy, but it's going to show up physically on your face and body.
All right, so when he was done with her and she started laughing at him, like, yeah, I just gave you something. You have no idea what you're going to get. I'm like, all right, maybe this is before I realized how crazy the movie was going to be, because it's early still, right? So I'm like, all right, he's trying to get deep with it. So it's like the early 90s, you know, you got AIDS running around there. It's a death sentence. You know, he just went and laid down with this chick on a one night stand, ain't used no protection. I'm thinking, all right, she burned him. And it's like a metaphor for all of that, you know, because he's like, no, not me. You don't look like you got anything. And I'm pretty sure that after one night stands, there's been many of people that have got them test results back, like, she ain't look like she had none.
You know? Yo, that was sick, bro.
So I was sitting there thinking, like, yo, all right, you trying to put the little safe sex message in there. All right, cool. But I like yours better. I like what you said better about the energy. You know,
I think it's both. I kind of agree with that too. It's like they was trying to get a little nod out to, like, hey, wrap this thing up, man. You don't know who this is. I don't care how fine she is.
Right, right. And I was like, all right, am I doing too much, or is this dude really being insightful in this part? Because I ain't know. After the first little bit of the movie, I was like, am I just looking too far into this? Is this just like a happy accident, or is he actually trying to do something? Let's talk about the last victim from the bar. This dude's death scene was crazy to me. The bisexual guy. I'm guessing he was bisexual because of his first interaction with the gay
at the bar. Man.
When he get, the temptress gets this man back to her apartment. Bruh.
I started to message you, Derek. I'm like, yo, is this chick fucking him in the ass?
And that nigga up from the back, goddamn.
Literally.
Hey, is this what I'm watching?
She literally tore this man. She tore this man up from the back. Literally killed him with it.
I was trying to figure out, did she have like a demon penis, or did she have a toy? You know, like, I don't know if it mattered, but I was just like, you know, is she just that much of a demon that she just grows a dick and starts fucking dudes? Like, that shit would have been crazy, but I know they wouldn't get that graphic.
I'm pretty sure it was some demon penis, because you seen when they showed her arm come around him to, like, kind of shut him up and, like, mm-hmm. cover his mouth or whatever. She had that big brolic ass forearm with all the hair all over it and everything like that. That was a lumberjack forearm she stuck out there. She might have playing no games. She went and chopped down some trees and then tore this man's backside up. Something crazy. So I don't know if I need to ask, but which one of the three dudes had the craziest death scene?
Number three. Number one, it's a good start off. Some weird shit pop off in the bathroom. He run out butt naked. You know, we don't know exactly what happened behind the door. Number two, like CL said, we don't exactly see his death scene.
Right.
You know, that's off camera. We just see him kind of get, you know, scratched the fuck up. She leave a mark on him. But we saw this man get fucked in the ass. We saw that shit. We saw blood. I could have sworn something else was coming out of his mouth. Like, damn. That's what I felt like. I felt like the demon dick was inserted so far, a motherfucker was coming out of his mouth. It was some more shit coming out of his mouth than just blood. So that dude got roughed up pretty badly.
Probably going to have to go with number three as well. dude, you know, just getting, you know, demolished basically by this demon. Like that one just took me by surprise completely. You know, like compared to the first one, I was like, this shit is funny. The third one was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that just happened in this movie.
Yeah, I'm right there with y'all for basically everything that y'all just said. I'm echoing the both of it. That was just outlandish. That was crazy to me. I damn near clutched my pearls. Like, I literally like, oh, shit, no. You'll never give them your back. Don't you ever give them your back. Ever. All right. So, let's talk. Man. I hope I can make it through this. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about my man, Kadeem Hardison, with his love scene. His love scene to me was just was masterful, man. That was another funny thing in the movie. And I feel like it really, he displayed a lot of range in this movie, like real talk. From being funny, whether he intended to or not, to actually just like bringing a whole different energy to the movie. Now you could tell this man was like on another level. And his love scene, I felt like it was like a time capsule from 90s love scenes. Had the dude with the saxophone in the back, the smoke-filled room and everything, the camera hitting all them wild angles. And then shout out to the cameraman or whoever's decision it was to show my man's feet just kind of flailing.
Yeah.
On the edge of the bed as homegirl started riding. He just, whoo, shit. So what'd you think about that love scene?
I was a little disappointed that it was in his head.
Yeah. You know?
Bro, the socks, like you said, the feet with the socks, it was just on another level. Like, I don't know, maybe it just hit a little home because I be having women talk about me having socks on all the time. But man, that was a good setup. I feel like if this was a better movie, that would have been a more memorable scene. Like, people would talk about that scene to this day, if anybody could remember this movie.
I think this is the part where I thought Freddie Jackson might pop up.
I don't even remember seeing him too tough throughout the movie.
You remember seeing Freddie Jackson?
No.
He was a dude. God, I can't remember. It had to be in a bar. It was one of those scenes. I mean, there's so many scenes in this movie. And the movie's only an hour and a half long. But there's so many scenes in this movie where Bill Nunn is in a bar talking to a different woman. Where that's where we see Freddie Jackson. Bill Nunn's talking to a female, putting that whack game on him. Then that's when Freddie Jackson comes in, and that's actually his lady that Bill Nunn is talking to.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Man, we're going to get to Bill Nunn because he was one of my favorite things about this movie. We're going to get to Bill Nunn. But the way homeboy came up to him at the bar, that's a good way to get your ass laid out coming through with all that disrespect. Like, he had that disrespectful energy. That's a good way to catch them problems. But let's dig into the core of this thing real quick. Let's talk about the acting. I need your opinion on the acting in this movie. Who was good? Who wasn't shit? Give it out.
Well, let's just talk about the terrible. James Bond III was terrible. Oh. This was the example of you write something, you direct something, but your ass ain't got the star in it. Give it to somebody else. He didn't do himself any favors in writing the movie because he wrote it and wrote himself a shit part.
He sure did.
Kadeem Hardison's character, Dougie, Bill Nunn's character, they have way better parts than him. And then he's just not believable. There's nothing about him that's believable. James Bond III, Joel Garth, you not going to question this fine-ass woman come and pick you over Kadeem Hardison? Bruh, come on.
I second that. Mr. Bond definitely is not of high caliber acting. We'll just put it like that. We'll be, you know, try to say it in with positive words.
Fuck positive. He was terrible. He sucked, bro.
I'm about to say, but if we gonna keep it all the way going, you know what I'm saying? That nigga trash as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know where you get off doing all the things that you did. Like, I'm thinking, I'm like, I put myself in his position because I could literally be there, you know, writing and directing my own movie next year. Like, this could definitely happen. I might make a movie with my iPhone and I might star it, but I'm not going to make myself look so lame And then I'm also not going to make myself, like Sean said, not be believable in my own part. That was his actual personality in real life, and he wrote that to himself. I would never hang out with James Bond III. I'm just going to say that. But I think, Sean, you said something about the other people's parts being more well-written. I don't think that was the case. I just think they were just more well-acted. That really had nothing to do with the writing. Like, they're just good. He's not. I don't think it really matter who wrote it. Kadeem, and like you said, your boy Bill Nunn, excellent job being entertaining. Kept me in for the entire movie. You know, Kadeem dropping a few bars here and there. And then your man, Bill Nunn, bro, like, every time at the bar with the new story, that shit was fire. Even if I could try that in real life, I don't think I would make it look as smooth. And I have to respect him for even like making it seem like this is the type of thing he does every day. You know, I actually believe that. So shout out to them on that too.
I'm going to take my little turn going in on Joel. Let's call him Joel. I ain't going to use his government. You know, I call him Joel. So I feel like the focus was too much on how he was saying things instead of what he was actually saying, his damn dialogue. Because the focus was on him being this naive country bumpkin, you know, who wants to be a minister. So he had to try to sound all naive, but he sounded like he was mentally challenged.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
I was sitting there like, is the dude mentally ill? Is that his part? Like, I couldn't tell. At the very beginning, I thought, okay, he's a little slow. He got a serious issue here. Okay, they're going to try to work this into the movie. But then I'm like, nah, this is just his acting. There's nothing wrong with this man. This is just how he chose to play the damn part. And the thing that made it worse was that he put himself on the screen, matched up pretty much for all of his time on screen with Kadeem Hardison. Mm. So that's like you pairing yourself up with Kadeem Hardison was like Michael Jordan in this movie. It's like you pair yourself up with like a top level dude, but you know that you ain't got that kind of game. So I'm just like, oh, that was a bad move right there.
Can I just point out one scene in particular that kind of highlights what you're talking about? Mm-hmm. When Joel first got to New York and they were just kicking it at K's spot, you could tell that James Bond III was in a totally different league than Kadeem.
Yeah.
You know, and Kadeem was carrying the hell out of that. Like, he gave 99% of that scene, while James Bond III gave, you know, a little 1%. I might be a little nice saying 1%. But yeah, if you just look at that scene, you could tell the disparity of talent.
You could. It was glaring. And I see you keep making the point to use that government because I ain't want to say it. I ain't want to keep throwing the name out there, but James Bond III. All right. Damn. I see you.
Hey, man. The whole intro scene has this nigga name like 7 or 8 times. It does. That's why we got to keep saying his name like that.
He wanted you to know he did this.
Yo, that was Tyler Perry before Tyler Perry.
Absolutely, bro.
Oh, that's the inspiration right there, son.
But then, you know, commenting to everybody else, like, I can't find another sore spot. I think everybody else in a major role did pretty good for what they were given. You know, we already talked about Kadeem Hardison, talked about Bill Nunn. Cynthia Bond was pretty decent in her role. I can't really say anything against it. I love seeing Melba Moore in the movie. I think she did a good job for the little that they gave Sam Jackson. I mean, and just going back to CL's earlier point, I mean, I know that this came out in, what, 1990? So just kind of pulling it up. At that point, Sam Jackson had only done Coming to America, School Days, and Do the Right Thing. You still could have gave him more than that.
I mean, I expect Sam to like show up as a voice or something, you know, maybe not the whole movie, but he might come to your boy in his dreams like 4 or 5 times throughout the movie. That's what I thought was going to happen.
But they used the grandma for that.
Why? Why the grandma?
I want to talk about her too a little later. Just for a hot second, I'm going to touch on her. But So we talked about how Kadeem and I feel like Kadeem and Bill Nunn basically carried this film, right? They were relied on a lot to make this thing watchable. I feel like as good as Kadeem was, I feel like Bill Nunn might have been even better just because of how funny he was. Because I gave up on it being like a horror, and I was like, all right, I'm looking for the comedy. Bill Nunn had me in stitches, dude. That dude was killing me every single night at that bar. He was killing me with his game. Could you picture anyone else playing them two parts? Do you think that they could have done something to make this movie even better? So two other people had them parts.
I don't know anybody who had time on their hands to do this.
Okay.
Oh my god.
You know, maybe Kadeem just did this real quick because he was on break from a different world. You know, if Bill Nunn had a few days on the schedule, he could slide this in.
Yo, can I just say that I forgot to mention before when Kadeem was having that love scene, for whatever reason, I kept on thinking of how disappointed Whitley would have been to see him drooling over this woman in the bar. Like, the wine? No!
Oh my God, bro. You sick for that.
Couldn't get that shit out of my head. Like, poor Whitley. He don't mean it. So, were there any parts of the movie that actually scared you, CL?
Hell no. Not one bit. Like, I actually fell asleep through part of it.
You know, I did kind of, you know, just might have tensed up a little bit when my man broke his wrist at the end. I was like, that was kind of pointless. Felt like you just used a lot of your budget just to do that one spot.
Wonder what the budget was on this damn thing. I couldn't find it.
Couldn't have been much. I figured most of the budget was used on him breaking his wrist and then that little spot they did at the end with Kadeem Hardison, which pissed me off.
Right. We're going to get to that.
I know we're going to get to it. But I just want to state that.
All right. On the front end.
All right, so I was looking for what could have saved this movie, right? And I feel like they had a good premise, like honestly and truly. If they would have explored and explained Joel's family history more, like dug into why Samuel Jackson's character was so important to the demon and why she was so obsessed with corrupting and ending their family line. You know, what was their relationship? What happened between their ancestors and this demon in the past? I feel like it could have turned it into a good movie. They'd given us something to work off, put some meat on that damn bone. You'd think that if they would have explored that, it could have, you know, maybe improved this somewhat.
There, who was they?
Oh, my bad. James Bond III did everything, right?
Right then. Exactly. No, say it. I'm done. That's just what you thought.
See, you know, and that's what I was looking at. Because I totally agree with you, Derek. I don't know why the Temptress came after Joel's father. Don't know why she had to come after Joel. I don't know why Grandma felt like she had to raise Joel to be a minister too. Did Grandma know that the Temptress got the parents and that the only way that this demon was going to be saved from their family was for Joel to be raised as a minister and then point his little funky cross at her, which was dumb. So yeah, it's just a lot that you don't know, but then you talk about what could save it. I feel like James Bond III, once he was blessed to have talent like Kadeem Hardison, Bill Nunn, Sam Jackson, Melba Moore, all these folks in his movie, he should have been like, hey, can I get the hookup? You know somebody that can make this? Like, Kadeem, could you holler at who was producing Different World at that time? Debbie Allen. Oh. Can you hit up Debbie Allen? Or could you ask Debbie Allen, do she know somebody? Or Bill Nunn, could you hit up somebody in your long tree of contacts to help me out? Like, there was enough contacts. Hell, James Bond III, meet James Bond III. looking at Sam Jackson. Sam Jackson, can you call Spike Lee? Tell him, get me some help. Like, Spike Lee don't have to help me. Spike Lee's, like, assistant can help me. And this shit would have been better.
I mean, from the footnotes, it said that he was a part of School Days. Like, so you should have had a little relationship.
There you go.
With Spike. So maybe that's how he was able to vacillate them relationships into something. I don't know. Like, I'm a little curious to how this came together.
I ain't gonna front, I am too.
I don't remember this dude in School Days, but then again, I've only seen School Days once. So,
well, Sean, you touched a little bit on like the grandmother and everything, and I really felt like, well, since they used her instead of using Samuel Jackson's character more, I really felt like they should use Samuel Jackson's character to have that direct link to the demon. It would have done better for the story, but they chose to use the grandma, and that's another thing that I feel like they could have done more of. Well, James Bond could have done more. Keep saying damn, used to like a team, but he was the team. Damn. Like, I felt like he could have done more with that grandma, because it was like another pretty cool thing that he potentially that he set up where, like, okay, the grandmother and this demon seem to have some kind of link. Like, the grandmother keeps on seeing in her dreams the same demon that took out her son, you know, going after her grandbaby. And then the demon seems to know whenever the grandmother's thinking about her. Mm-hmm. Like, they had that one scene, she looking at Joel's baby picture, and then the demon starts crying blood to make the baby picture start crying blood. And the grandmother knows, oh, damn, she after my baby. Oh, hell. And hell, you even got grandma rolling through like the Terminator at the end of the movie. You know, in that last fight scene, I'm thinking she about to whoop some ass. And she get ragged off.
And got hemmed up.
She got ragged off.
Yeah, him the hell up. How is grandma not dead?
She held on for a good minute. She was fighting, hey, that choke.
Not only did she just get pushed the fuck off, then she got jacked the fuck up. Nah, this is not believable. She had to be passed out at her death, or maybe it's Joel's magical cross saved her.
Just a strong black woman right there. That's what that was. But, well, since we're there talking about the fight scene, let's just jump to the ending. Go ahead, Sean. Tell them why you mad, bro, about this ending.
James Bond III. What the fuck? Now, you just had Kadeem Hardison and Bill Nunn carry your old sorry movie. Your character didn't even believe what was going on. And you had these two strong actors telling you. And what you do? You kill them off. All these other dudes getting some pussy before they go out. Kadeem Hardison got ate by a TV.
Bruh.
And then the TV got the nerve to throw up his intestines. And then you can see Kadeem's face like try to come up out the TV screen. And the TV screen turned to plastic. And shit, we don't even know what the hell happened to Bill Nunn. We just know he dead. You know, he just ended up in the cab with old buddy in the temptress, and he was out of there. That whole, I could see one of them getting chopped off. But then after Bill Nunn, I'm like, okay, Kadeem got to make it through. And I swear, not even 2 minutes later, Kadeem got ate by TV. How the fuck he get ate by TV? And that wasn't a perfect depiction of a black man, because if I walk into my place and I see myself on the TV screen, like a mirror, I'm not walking towards the TV screen. I'm getting the fuck up out of there.
Correct.
And they had Kadeem just walking towards the damn TV.
Oh, child. Boy, that ending right here. Talking about convoluted. Sean, you kind of laid it out, so I don't really have to hash everything out, but I too will second that Kadeem Harrison death just didn't sit right. You know, like, I was looking forward to him making it. Like, I actually planned, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, you know, let's see what happened. Like, how is Kadeem going to help save the day? You know, something with his cunning. Like, is he going to do anything to help save? Nope, he gets saved by TV. And I'm still trying to figure out, like, exactly what happened. He just walked in, and it was just on, and he just went to it. Like, I I was a little confused as the purpose of why he had to die like that. Yeah. And then I guess going to, you know, the Supercross, we're just going to call it that. How did it become super? Like, did we figure out that he was like the chosen one, or, you know, like what? I swear, like,
cause golden child.
I don't know what was going on. Like, all I know is grandma got knocked out. Sam Jackson said, use the word. I'm thinking he gonna pick the Bible up. He picked the cross up. So that even confused me even more. Because everybody else knows the word is the book. So, and then he kept saying it, use the word. I'm like, okay, is he gonna pick the Bible up? No, he's just holding the cross. I did not understand that, bro. Like, I was so lost. Like, it's too much for me, man. Like, I'm just glad that I had something else to do after that so I could just like flesh it out of my head. You know?
Oh, forget about this hour and a half that I wasted. Yeah.
I'm gonna be real. As soon as I turn this off, man, I watched John Wick to get this shit out of my
mind. Damn.
Look, can I just add, he put up the Supercross to kill the Tempters. Why am I looking? And I felt like I just watched a little bit of Vampire in Brooklyn. Like, why is Kadeem the fucking chauffeur?
Yes.
And why is Bill Nunn? So are they the temptresses now? Like, yeah. James Bond the third. Did you really just try to set this up like you was going to get a sequel? You wasn't going to get a sequel to this, bruh. What, never going to be no Death by Temptation part two. And you was never going to get Kadeem Hardison and Bill Nunn again. Just wasn't gonna happen. So that was point. If you killed Kadeem and Bill to do that at the end, then their deaths were even more pointless.
Yeah. I want to add one thing about the ending that bothered me. That man Joel showed no sense of urgency when his grandma was getting hemmed up by that demon. She got her feet dangling in the air as this demon choking the life out of her, and he's just looking at his poor little wrist and just. It's time, stop and turn around, look at his grandma real quick, think about it for another 10 seconds, take another 4 steps, turn around and look, oh, she's still getting choked, all right, shit, let me crawl across this bed, let me take the long way to get to this cross right quick, take the long route across the bedroom. That shit was just, it was just bad all around.
I was agonizing, bro.
it was horrible. But you talked about how Kadeem and Bill Nunn got basically turned into, like, I guess the temptress and the temptress's chauffeur at the end, right? So obviously there was no sequel, thank God, right? There was no sequel. But let's talk about it from a different perspective. Do you think this movie could be successful if they remade it today with an A+ cast and an A+ director and producer, writers, all that, based off the premise of the movie?
I would say yes. The story was there. Like, I was really intrigued by the story, and there's potential for background. Like, you could do this movie. You can make a sequel of it. But then there's some story that you can prequel this thing too. So the basic premise of this has potential if the right person picked it up and did it. Like, say if a Jordan Peele saw this, like, he could pick this up and put out a really, really good version of this that's watchable and makes sense. And it, you know, we might get something that's a little more horror and a little less comedy.
That's exactly who I thought of when I thought about that question.
But James Bond the third, nah.
Sean, I think you hit it on the head. Like, Jordan Peele is literally the best person you can find on the planet to remake this movie, because it does have a lot of meat on the bone. You know, if you set this up, you know, got the color right on the film, you know, make it actually look a little creepy, you know, get some realistic blood, you know, main character that not also everything else in the movie, you might could get somewhere. Like we said, you know, or like I said, you know, some transitions, some little music here and there. Hey man, you might have a little something here. Like, it was almost there. It was so close to actually being okay, but you needed a lot more well-roundedness, you know, of course, from top-down direction, writing, location. I think this probably, if they were going to remake it, I would slick like to see it in Atlanta and just like make it some super like Southern shit and have a bunch of inside jokes. I think that would be a good way to turn it on its head, because it's a lot of stuff that you have to learn about Atlanta when you get here, just like when you go to New York. And of course, you know, down here is like the home of the strip club. You know what I'm saying? Like she might be working at Magic City. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can really take this all away if you wanted to. It's got some potential.
Yeah, most definitely. Like the thought when I was trying to think about what movie would it be like if Jordan Peele got his hands on it, just to have something to compare it to. And I was thinking it could be something like a Black Devil's Advocate, like a Black version of the Devil's Advocate, since they're interacting with a demon and all of that. But obviously Peele will put his genius twist on it, you know. But that's just what he does. Them Black horror comedy movies, like, I feel like that's his joint right there. He's just a lane of his own right there. Nobody can have foot in there. Hopefully he does it.
Now, real quick, let me ask y'all something. How would y'all feel if the Wayans brothers redid this?
Nope, because it would just be another comedy.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't enjoy that?
I'd enjoy it.
Yeah, I prefer this not to be a comedy.
Okay.
This shouldn't have been a comedy. I'm not going to say I wouldn't enjoy it, but this story, I would prefer it not to be a comedy.
Exactly. Like, I would enjoy it, but this story has the potential to be like an actual serious, seriously good movie.
I get what you're saying. I could agree with that.
And obviously, somebody knew it was bad, because I just looked it up. When this film was released, it was only released in 11 venues.
I saw that.
Yikes.
11? Damn.
So what was the budget?
I think that's like top secret.
Like, I ain't gonna tell nobody. Yeah, I think that's top secret,
man. Like, did you make your
I done searched damn near everywhere. I usually look for movie information and can't find nothing on the budget of this movie.
But all right, y'all. So before we commence the voting on this movie. Either one of y'all got anything to add before we get to it?
I will say that, you know, Bill Nunn just in general deserves what I guess like my bench player award for this one, because I feel like he showed up and was putting up shots every single time. So I want to give a special appreciation for that right now. Not a lot that I was a fan of besides, you know, him and Kadeem, but let's get on to it.
Oh, wait, hold on. Because I forgot to talk about this man, Bill Nunn, and just shout him out for some more quotables. We always talk about quotables from these movies. And he had two of my favorite quotables. I ain't never heard them, but I'm sure I'm going to be using them from now on. All right. So let me look at my notes real quick. But he was arguing with that model, "I ain't no stranger to wet panties. And I'm on a first name basis with pussy." I was dead.
Okay, ew, bro.
I was like, man, this podcast can't end without me dropping that line, just shouting them out. Reverend Lee, I'm going to find a reason to say that shit to somebody at some point.
Might have to go find that clip, bro. Might have to go ahead and grab it.
That was nice. And shout out to the first bartender for dropping one of my favorite lines. First time I saw it was in the original House Party when they was talking about that album, and the dude in the commercial was like, "Hey man, can I use your album?" He's like, "No, my brother, you got to get your own." Mm-hmm. I've said that to so many people in my life. Every time I hear somebody use that quote, that's a big shout out. They get a big shout out from me. It's one of my favorite quotes of all time.
Before I get to the awards, I don't want to shout out someone. I want to apologize. All apologies to Miss Cynthia Bond. Never heard of her before. Don't think I've seen her in anything else. But I'll just echo what I said earlier. I think she did a really good job and probably had the potential to do more. But then James Bond the Third.
Damn. Killed the career.
Shit. Damn, James Bond the Third. So y'all know how we do it. If we love a film, if it's one of our favorites, we'll hook it up with an image award. If it's good, not great, we'll give it a Soul Train award. If it's so-so, average, gets a Source award. Or if we eating it up like that TV did poor Kadeem Hardison, get that shit a BET award. So Derek, I'll flip it to you. Death Man. By Temptation. What you got?
You already know, bro. Burn that motherfucker. They need to burn the negatives. Act like it never happened. The same way you can't find any information on this budget. Everybody who acted in this film need to burn it off their resume and act like it never happened. Get this joint the BET award, brother.
CL?
I mean, well, I watched it on BET Plus. So I don't know if you get an automatic BET award for being on BET Plus. But in this case, you will. You know, when you watching, we all got like Netflix and Hulu and all that different stuff, right? You get to like the horror section. Everybody's pumping their scary movies right now. And so there's like a big line of like Halloween themed movies. And I didn't see it. It wasn't anywhere near the front or the back of the list. I had to go search that guy. The only reason I knew it was on BET Plus was because of Amazon. That's the only reason I knew. Other than that, I would not have found that guy. But yeah, man, nobody checking for this movie. You know what you did, Mr. Bond the Third.
But this movie gets a BET award. That's easy. This shit is trash. Shame on you, James Bond the Third. Let's just say this. I want to say your name one more time. Because with as many connections that you had to make this movie better, niggas, James Bond the Third. Okay, before I wrap this up, I have to apologize to Derek. Derek asked a question, and I admit, I misspoke. Early in the podcast, Derek asked if any part of this movie scared us. I said, hell no. Ain't nothing scary about this movie. Pure comedy. Derek, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Something in this movie did scare me. The acting of James Bond the Third was the scariest shit in this movie. James Bond the Third, don't act no more. Whatever you're doing right now, just do that. Don't come back. Don't reboot yourself, remake yourself, nothing. Stay in the corner. You're on punishment. Forever. So terrible, it was scary as fuck. I'm just thankful that Kadeem Hardison, Bill Nunn, and Samuel L. Jackson survived this piece of shit. So congratulations to Death by Temptation for being the first movie to get all BET awards from each co-host. Alright, so we're done with this horror shit for a while. We're gonna switch it up next week, have a little fun. I can't wait for us to dive deep on 1995's. Wait for it. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie. Yes! Looking forward to doing that next week. But until then, make sure you're following the Madcap Pod on Instagram and Twitter at Madcap Pod. Give us a like on Facebook as well. Until next time, for my co-hosts, Derek and CL, this is Sean. And we'll see you next week with that Power Rangers review.
Summer, our world will come under attack.
The mayor has declared a state of emergency
by the most evil force ever known. He has armies at his command, and only one power on Earth can stop him. Welcome to my nightmare. Now, the ultimate adventure begins.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
You garlic-sucking dingle brain!
We're the Power Rangers.
Ooh, where's my autograph book?
More action. More adventure. More power.
The Ooze is back.
Use, you lose.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The movie.